It's our Saturday morning conversation with the experts from Alevation Health. It's Next Level You on KFOR FM 103.3 1240 AM. And we welcome back Matt Duffy. Matt is Chief Strategy Officer at Alevation Health. Matt, good to have you in again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Didn't scare you away the first two times. Kind of liked it. So now you're back.
Yeah, they keep sending me in. Hopefully that I can come up with good information to talk about.
We'll keep taking you. There's a lot of good information to talk about at Alevation Health. Alevation, the first and only clinic in Nebraska. First and only clinic in Nebraska to offer brain health monitoring with its cutting-edge alternative solutions to diagnosing and treating certain behavioral issues. Let's start there. The uniqueness of Alevation.
Yeah, so this brain health monitoring program falls under what we like to do as a clinic, which is continue to be on that cutting edge and bringing new options to more or less the Midwest that typically aren't available, but are available on the coast. For as we talked about before, the Midwest tends to be slower at adopting new medical technologies. So these are services that are available out there. We're not the only clinic that does them, but we are right now the only clinic in Nebraska offering it. But it's been around for multiple years, and we've seen a lot of success with it.
Our conversation today focuses on EEG.
Yeah, so EEG is the equipment that we use to do the brain health monitoring. So it's the equipment we're using, it's how it's prescribed, it's how it's billed, so insurance understands what we're doing. The program that we use it in is our brain health monitoring program. So to give you an idea of what we're doing, because it's when you're the only ones in Nebraska who do it, there can be a lot of confusion or misconceptions out there about what it is that we're actually doing. When we say EEG, EEG is a technology that's been around for decades, again. So we're taking a technology that's been around for a long time, and some really smart people in another company figured out how to use it in a different way to give more medical professionals access to it and expand the uses of it. So this isn't a new technology. It's being used in a way it hasn't been used before in the last couple of years. EEGs, when medical professionals typically hear about them, have been historically used to diagnose seizures. So when we say we're using it for brain health, the immediate response is, oh, you must be diagnosing seizures, which we can, of course, do with EEGs. But we're using it in a much different way than the diagnosis of seizures. So to give you a little bit of a difference, when you diagnose a seizure, what you're trying to find out is, does the brain go into a state of overactivation, which is a seizure, without anything or having it do so? So there's no external stimuli. There's no, like you hear about if you watch the flashing lights, some people have seizures watching flashing lights. That's an external stimuli that's causing your brain to go into overdrive. There's certain people who have seizures without any external stimuli. They just, for whatever reason, have their brain, and a couple of times a day or a couple of times a month, whatever it is, their brain just overactivates for no reason. The main way to differentiate if it's external stimuli or if your brain just goes into this state is using EEGs, putting someone in a room with no stimuli. So we say dark room, no noise, and they're just monitoring to see if your brain waves activate in a way that they're not supposed to. And the EEG is what tells them what's going on. So that's the way it's been used for a long time. Put someone in a room with no stimulus and see what their brain does with no stimulus. Does it overactivate for no other reason than something's acting incorrectly inside of it? What we do with it is a little different, because obviously with mental health and those things, we're not diagnosing seizures. A lot of these people don't have seizure disorders. We're looking at more ADHD, depression, bipolar, pretty much any mental health indication, and even some not, they're more lifestyle, which we can get into too. What we're looking at is we want to know what your brain does with information. So it's great in mental health to say you're ADD, you can't focus on things. Your brain doesn't handle the information correctly. That's what's going on. But how do we really know? So historically, everything in mental health has been what the patient tells us and what maybe friends or schools, things like that, tell us are what professionals have to go on. The problem with that is it's not always honest or it's not always accurate, because when you ask someone to self-diagnose themselves, these days the joke with Google is you go onto Google with a sore throat and you end up with cancer, right?
Mm-hmm. Everybody's story is just
a little different,
interpreted differently.
And everything's a symptom of everything. So you really need experts to sort out how serious of a problem is it really. What we're trying to do with the EEGs and what we've done successfully over the past few years is take a little bit of the guesswork out of the diagnosis. And how we kind of came to this, let's start with how we came to this. Mental health has a problem with treatment that's not hugely talked about. And the problem with treatment is, in our specialty, only about 20% of people get fully better. So reach what the term in our specialty is, remission. A lot more people than 20% get help where they get better, but better is different than max benefit. The easiest way I can think of to describe it in non-medical terms is it's like it when you're going to school and you're getting F's on your papers. Well, if I give you a private tutor and you get a D, you've done better. But is a D the goal?
A is the goal.
A is the goal, right? But school is really easy because you have a grading system, right? You're a D, you're an A, you're a C. Specialties don't always have that grading system. So when you say you're better, how can we really know, are you an A or are you a D? And when you can't really define that, some people's treatments stop at a C or a B or a D because they feel better than when they came in. And sometimes their goals are even met. You know, I can't go to work. I have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning. I have a hard time focusing on my job. Whatever it is, that's the problem I want fixed. That's the problem I can see and understand. That's the one I want fixed. And a lot of times we can help that so you feel better. But that doesn't mean you've reached max benefit. The bigger issue with that is, and this is what all specialties know, if you don't reach max benefit, your chance to relapse is very high. So mental health has a relapse rate of over half. More than half the people who get better lose that state of life at some point. The med stops working or is less effective. The treatment plan they were on doesn't work anymore. So stopping early in your treatment prevents you from long-term outcomes. Again, trying to find things that people can kind of relate this to. The easiest one I give is family practice medicine, if you have the flu, because most people have had the flu at some point in their life and gotten antibiotics. Everybody's told the same thing when they have to take antibiotics. You have to take every pill.
Mm-hmm.
Why do physicians have to tell us we have to take every pill?
Because when I start feeling better, I've stopped taking the medication.
Right? If it was up to you, when you feel better, why do you have to take more? And most people feel better after 3 or 4 days, but we have to take all 10. It's because there's some percentage of being sick that you can't even realize is there. No one knows when their first cell in their body turns cancerous. That's not enough of an effect on the body to be noticeable, but it's an issue. No one knows when the first flu strain enters their body, and you know it has to reach a certain level of progression, but medical professionals know if we don't fully eradicate, it can come back. It can multiply, it can reestablish, it can travel to a different part of the body and establish. And the worst part, which is why we're so concerned about antibiotics, is if you don't fully eradicate it, does it mutate and become resistant to that antibiotic? So we really have to get rid of it fully the first time. So we've looked and said other specialties get a lot better outcomes than mental health. You know, cancer docs aren't going in and removing half the cancer and saying, you feel better now, we're done, right? Their goal is you have to be fully better. And other specialties do two things that mental health historically hasn't done. And it's not mental health's fault. We haven't had access to these things. But they're changing now with some of the things we talk about on this show. The first one is Other specialties don't treat how you feel. Mental health has forever been established of how do you feel. If other specialties treated people on how they feel, no one would go through chemotherapy. Right? The treatment for cancer is way worse than how cancer feels on a daily basis. Now, the outcome of death is much worse than feeling bad, right? Now, our goal isn't to make mental health feel like chemotherapy, but it's the point of we don't want to focus on how you feel. We want to focus on are you healthy? And those are two very different things. And part of the reason why mental health is misunderstood, because mental health, depression is associated with sadness. Well, sadness is a byproduct of depression. Depression's a medical issue. Sadness is how it makes you feel. I can't always treat how you feel either, right? Some people want to be happy 24/7. Well, that's another issue. That's typically called mania. We don't want that either. So getting away from the presence of we're treating feelings and we're treating health and we're treating function. The other one is other specialties realized a long time ago that they need this term in medicine called objective information. I need to know what your body's doing. I need to know what the health is, more so than what you can just tell me. And what other specialties tend to use is on a scale of 1 to 10, how much pain are you in? The issue with that is your 5, my 5, someone else's 5 can all differ, right? So trying to treat someone based off of that is very difficult. Another example we use, because we have family practice in our building, I use a lot of family practice examples. If you come in and you're a diabetic, your doctor draws labs every single time. They don't just ask you, how are you? They want to monitor how's your body functioning. If I ask those professionals, let me take those labs away and treat the patient, they all say there's no way. That's a necessity in treatment. And we look at that as mental health and say, if that's a necessity for every other specialty, are we missing something not including it in what we do? And that's where we came to these EEGs or brain health monitoring.
Matt, I'm going to interrupt you here because we've laid a solid foundation, a groundwork for EEG, and we're out of time. So I'm going to invite you back for next week.
Okay.
And let's continue this conversation.
Sounds good.
So next week, go to alivation.com. Matt Duffy joining me on Next Level You.